Hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio and also in association with a broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. You're currently listening to One Slip by Pink Floyd. I hope you enjoy it.
A moment relapse.
I love that song. I think that's my favourite track from the Momentary Lapse of Reason album. And of course, it's the song where they say the title of the album. Anyway, hello and welcome to Top of the Progs on Smile Radio and also in association with and broadcasting on Progzilla Radio. Thank you to all who joined me for last week's mammoth Dark Side of the Moon special. I thought it'd be funny to open with some 80s Pink Floyd just for the ultimate contrast. Huge fan of the Momentary Lapse album. Huge fan of the song One Slip. Now, a lot has happened this week in the world of prog. We have a new Yes single with the announcement of a new Yes album, which, to be honest, I'm not too fussed about. The most recent Yes stuff has been okay. The Quest was a bit of a snooze fest, but you know, I'll give it a shot at some point. But more importantly, we have the next full moon, which means the next single from Peter Gabriel's I.O. album. Now, I was a little bit worried about I.O. because of its kind of weird release schedule. So rather than him releasing a single, then giving a date for the album, Peter said, okay, we're going to release a song every full moon, so by the end of the year you'll have the full album. A lot of critics said that that's because the album wasn't yet finished and that Peter needed more time to work on it, but the first single came out, Panopticon, and it was a good song. It was well written, it was memorable, it was great production, and it was great, but it just didn't tug at those heartstrings that Peter Gabriel does so well with songs like Red Rain, Sledgehammer and all that stuff. You know, like a classic Peter Gabriel song really tugs at the heartstrings, I think, for me. It makes you feel a deeper emotion, and I just wasn't getting that from Panopticon. Then the second single came out, The Core, and I didn't like The Core at all. It was a good, well-written song, again, very well-produced, interesting sampling, interesting drum sounds, but there was just something about The Core which just didn't agree with me. Anyway, this week, the latest single, Playing for Time, dropped, and it's completely changed my perspective on the I.O. album. I think maybe Peter chose this one to release next as a contrast to the other two. You know, he did it deliberately. He released the two most kind of different, I guess, ones first, and this, I think, is one of the best songs he's ever done, without a doubt. This, for me, is up there with some of his classic tracks. From the first time I heard it, I just knew there was something really, really special here. This is my favourite of the I.O. tracks so far. This is Playing for Time by Peter Gabriel.
There's a planet spinning slowly, we call it ours. Anytime, any day, any moment that we bring to life will never fade away. Sorting it out, so everything I care about is held in here. All of those I love inside. Everybody's playing for time. Still playing for time. There goes the sun, back from where it came. The young move to the center, the mom and dad, the frame. Any space, breathless, sublime. Sorting it out, so everything I care about is held in here. All of those I love inside. Everybody's playing for time. You and I're still playing for time.
That is one of his best songs. I think without a doubt one of the best ones that he has ever released. It's hard to, you know, for me to sum up briefly what we just experienced there, what we just listened to. But, you know, the first time I heard it, it was a big experience. Like, it was just like, you know, it was 4 minutes. There's 4 minutes before the full orchestra kicks in. I love that he keeps the sound of the piano pedal squeaking in the beginning because it just humanizes the song. You know, you can hear all the kind of little details in the performance. And I think the vocal mix on that is just incredible. His voice is sounding amazing. I love the piano style. It kind of reminds me of Randy Newman a little bit, a kind of American gospel-y kind of descending seventh chords. But when the full orchestra kicks in towards the end, it is really powerful. I feel like, you know, he did those New Blood albums where he re-recorded his old tracks with orchestra. That minute at the end of Playing for Time is like the perfect orchestral kind of integration, because the orchestra's driving the rhythm, the drums are just doing a very simple boom kind of pattern. The orchestra's really driving it. I think it is one of his greatest songs. You know, my hopes for the IO album have gone up 100 times, and even if the rest of the album's terrible, it will be worth it because we got Playing for Time, which is just, it's just such a great, great song. I just absolutely love it. Next up, we have a band that I have never, ever played on Top of the Progs before. Some band names kind of linger in your mind. you know, you just hear titles thrown about and you think, oh, I should check those out one day. But, you know, I've never played a track by the Flower Kings before. And I don't know why this week when I was putting the playlist together, I thought, you know what, let's listen to a bit of Flower Kings. Let's throw a Flower Kings song in there. This is Broken by the Flower Kings.
We'll be right back.
What I enjoy about that is it's literally like 70s prog all got put into a blender and turned into one song. There's bits of King Crimson in there. Some of that riff sounds suspiciously like the end of Fracture by King Crimson. But there's a bit of Yes in there. There's a bit of Genesis in there. A bit of Emerson, Lake and Palmer. It's just like all of those songs put into a blender. It's really well played, really well produced. Great sounding kind of album and a great sounding track. And it's just great fun to listen to. Now, this next song is kind of in the tenuous category. Many would argue, is it prog or is it not prog? But it does have a prog centerpiece player, I guess, if that was the thing you call it. It does have a one of the kings of prog in the kind of all overall prog scene on the track and on the album. The band is Avenged Sevenfold, and the album is their Nightmare album, which was released in 2009. It was their first album without founding member and drummer Jimmy the Rev Sullivan, who unfortunately passed away in between the stages of the demo of the album and recording the album. So basically, they demoed the whole album, the Rev played drums on it, and then when it came time to actually record it, he sadly passed away. So instead, the band members wanted to carry on and kind of did the album as a tribute to the Rev, and they got Mike Portnoy from Dream Theater on the drums. Now, at the time, Mike was still in Dream Theater, and he got himself into a little bit of a sticky situation. Basically, Avenged brought him into play on the album. They liked his playing so much, they brought him to play on the Nightmare World Tour, but they weren't so sure about having him as a full-time bandmate. Now, wires got crossed at this point, you know. I think Portnoy got a little bit confused, and he was already dissatisfied with Dream Theater before he even started working with Avenged Sevenfold, but it was during the recording of the Nightmare album that he announced to the world that he was leaving Dream Theater. And he put in his announcement post about leaving Dream Theater that part of the reason he was leaving was so that he could join Avenged Sevenfold full time. And the whole world saw this, and the band members of Avenged saw this, and they were absolutely horrified by it, basically. And the next time they saw Portnoy, they basically had to break the news to him that, Portnoy, you're just a session guy. After this next tour, that's it, you're not in Avenged Sevenfold. Which, can you imagine how awkward that must have been to be either Mike Portnoy or Avenged Sevenfold at the time? But anyway, this is one of the best songs on the album. It's kind of a heavy ballad kind of thing. It's got some great piano work in it. This is Fiction by Avenged Sevenfold. We'll be right back. Such a great track is that. It's so much fun, so enjoyable, and I love the kind of contrast. You know, it's got the creepy kind of piano intro thing that runs throughout the song, and then the kind of positive, upliftingy yet still really dark verses. Of course, Portnoy's drumming on that is absolutely great. He doesn't overplay, which is absolutely brilliant. Portnoy can sometimes overplay the heck out of something. You know, he's one of the guys who he's definitely fits the bill of complex for the sake of complexity. But on that album, he really serves all the songs, and it's just it's a really, really great listen. This next song could also be debated whether it is or not prog, but I will now list a few reasons whether I think it should be included in the canon of the words progressive rock. Now, this song came out in 1983 by the band Public Image Limited from the band's album, creatively titled Album. Yeah, very funny, very clever, John Lydon, calling your album Album. And every time it got reissued on a different format, it was renamed. So when it first came out on CD, the album was retitled CD. Then when it came out on iTunes, it was retitled MP3. And it's called MP3 now, I think, like on some streaming services and things like that, which is, yeah, very funny, very kind of witty kind of joke. But one song on there, the album, funnily enough, we should say that, was recorded by a bunch of LA session musicians. John Lydon didn't have a band at the point. Virgin Records weren't fully behind Public Image Limited at this point. They weren't really keen on what he was doing. So John Lydon and his producer basically assembled a bunch of session musicians, and among them was prog fusion jazz legend Tony Williams, who played the drums on this song, which is very weird because it's the most un-Tony Williams-like drums part I have ever heard in my life. Tony Williams, of course, the Alan Holdsworth guy, Miles Davis, Tony Williams' lifetime, all that great stuff, but this, I think, is the best song on the album, and I think is the best song John Lydon's ever written. It's where everything comes together. The experimental lyrics, the experimental backing track, the deliberately dodgy mixing, I would say, you know, like deliberately kind of rough mixes, and everything just comes together perfectly to create one of the best songs ever written. This is Rise by Public Image Limited.
Could be wrong, I could be right. Could be wrong, could be right. I could be wrong, I could be right. I could be black, I could be white. I could be right, I could be wrong. I could be black, I could be white. They put a hot wire to my head, 'cause of the things I didn't say, and made these feelings go away. Model citizen in every way.
The road rides with you, may the road rides with you, may the road rides with you, may the road rides with you.
The road rides with you. May the road rides with you. May the road.
I definitely think that could be classed as prog. There's so much experimentation going on in there. Interestingly enough, that came out in like 83. The middle section, the kind of instrumental section where it goes dark, sounds suspiciously similar to the middle of Tonight, Tonight, Tonight by Genesis. It's probably just one of those coincidences. I can't imagine Tony Banks being a big Public Image Limited fan and listening to and enjoying tracks like Rise, but it's fun to think about that. Next up, we've got a little bit of Steve Hackett with a song from a solo album released in 1983 titled Highly Strung. This is one of my favourite Steve Hackett tracks. There's a lot of great stuff in Steve Hackett's solo discography. I feel like a lot of it's very patchy. Steve has, I don't know whether he has trouble with, some of the songs just don't quite feel finished, if that makes sense. Like, they feel like they go on a bit too long or they're not very well arranged. Some of it is absolutely fabulous. Some of it's very wacky, kind of very out there and things like that. Tony Banks often referred to Steve Hackett in Genesis as his partner when it came to all things weird. When Tony wanted to do something weird, he knew Steve would be 100% behind it. Steve loves Robert Fripp and all that kind of stuff, but this song is absolutely phenomenal. It has on it some absolute prog royalty. It has the drummer from Marillion, who replaced Mick Pointer, as Ian Mosley on drums, playing an incredibly sophisticated groove. It has Nick Magnus producing the album, who also plays keyboards, and I think it's one of his best songs. Steve sung it himself, and while Steve is an amazing guitarist, he's not the best singer in the world, and I think it certainly shows on this track, unfortunately, but it's a great track nonetheless, and one of my favourite Hackett tracks. This is Camino Royale by Steve Hackett. it's a lot of fun, is that, you know, there's so many good moments in it. The chorus is a bit weak, let's be honest, but the playing on it is phenomenal, as is with all Steve Hackett tracks. He always manages to get a great band together. That's one of Steve Hackett's many talents, is he has a great band and a great rhythm section behind him. He carried with him a lot of the Genesis staples, such as the bass pedals and mellotrons, into his own music, and I think it works out for the better. I think some of his solo stuff is phenomenal. Now, we've got a little bit more Steve Hackett, but one of Steve Hackett's supergroups from the 1990s. Basically, Steve Hackett had a long-standing friendship with John Wetton. Basically, he was very good friends with John Wetton, and that became friends with Ian McDonald from King Crimson, as well as Chester Thompson, and they formed a supergroup, basically, called, it was just Steve Hackett's band at the time, but they recorded a live album in the late 1990s called The Tokyo Tapes, playing the best of King Crimson, Genesis, Asia, and they had a great time doing so, and I think they're an amazing band. It's an amazing live album. It's all videoed. For a long time, like before any King Crimson was available on streaming services, the only way you were able to enjoy the band's music was if you got yourself a copy of the Tokyo Tapes. But I thoroughly enjoy it. I think it's a great album. It's great to see, watch the video as well, especially. Steve plays around with some of the Genesis tunes a little bit. He does Watcher of the Skies and kind of plays with the rhythm of it a little bit, which is a little bit odd. But John Wetton nails it on vocals and bass. And you can tell Ian McDonald's having a great time playing these songs from In the Court live once again. This is one of my favourites from the live album. This is I Talk to the Wind from Steve Hackett's The Tokyo Tapes.
Said the straight man to the late man, where have you? I've been here and I've been there and I've been in between. I talked to her. My words are all carried away. I talked. We'll be right back.
just upset my mind. Can't instruct me or conduct me, just use up my time.
Such a great performance, that's very faithful to the original, but still kind of fresh and exciting. Love the inclusion of Steve's solo in there. He's kind of channeling Robert's solo, but he's doing his own thing with it, with the volume and swell pedals. I think that's it's a great version. We don't have a lot of good quality live recordings of the original King Crimson Band, you know, from 1969, so that acts as a great kind of supplement, I guess. In the 90s, of course, we also had the 21st Century Schizoid Band, which was the 1969 lineup of King Crimson plus Mel Collins, except it was without Robert Fripp, basically. It was King Crimson without Fripp playing the original album and a lot of those tracks. And they got in King Crimson's now singer and frontman, Jacko Jackshek, on vocals. And apparently Robert Fripp called up Jacko while he was rehearsing with that band and said, "How's it going?" And Jacko said, "Oh, it's the worst 3 weeks I've ever had in my life." And Robert said, "Yes, I forgot to mention the original lineup was a right collection of See You Next Tuesdays, unfortunately." But there you go. Well, now, unfortunately, nearing the end of this week's show, I'd like to close now with the classic little bit of Marillion, with the two tracks that close the band's Misplaced Childhood album. This is Childhood's End, followed by White Feather by Marillion. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have a good week. Goodbye.
Carry on with yours. So I see you. you gotta get out.